Cleveland is where the urban meets the outdoors, where cultural celebrations meet rabid sports fans meet the symphony, where nobody goes hungry and everybody loves music. Fueled by passion, we are the land for life. From rich history to hidden gems, the Legends of the Land podcast shares the real stories from real Clevelanders that shape the city. From iconic chefs to grassroots changemakers, sports heroes to creative visionaries, learn why living all out is in Cleveland's DNA. Go to thisiscle.com/podcast.
This is the Charlie Epps Golf Hour on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Powered by Insperity.
With the golf doctor himself, Charlie Epps. Here's Will Doctor.
Nice to have you with us on a Saturday morning. This is the Charlie Epps Golf Hour presented by Insperity HR that makes a difference. We'll be keeping you up to date with the latest on the Open Championship over the next couple hours. John Rahm making a move up the leaderboard, 4 under through 11 up to a tie for 7th. Of course, Brian Harman leads by 5. And you can get all your questions sent in at Charlie Epps Show on Twitter. Charlie, great to be with you this morning as we're halfway through the 151st Open. Give me the latest.
Thank you, Will. It's a pleasure to be with you on this last day of the, or the third day of the last major championship. It's kind of sad, but it's been a good one so far. We're going to have a good weekend. I like what I see on the leaderboard, and I like to hear that John Rahm is moving up. So Saturday's moving day, and it's going to be fun to watch.
Charlie, the weather across the pond here for the Open, first couple days, obviously this golf course looks a lot different than 2006 or 2014. This course has seen a ton of rain over the last 3 weeks. Relatively windy, but playing soft. What have your thoughts been on the course over the first couple of days?
You know, it's been, you know, it's a great golf course. They've had championships there before. Rory won the last one in 2014. I think this year they've got a special edition. There's a brand new hole, the 17th hole, could make the difference in the championship. I like it. It's a short, difficult hole. But with a wedge in your hand, you should be able to handle it. But the nerves on Sunday are going to produce some funny shots.
I'm curious about the nerves that both of these top two players on the leaderboard are feeling. Of course, Brian Harman, Charlie, 5-shot lead. You obviously know who Brian Harman is. This guy's had a class PGA Tour career after coming out of Georgia. And when you look at the last... eight majors where someone has been 5 shots up after 36 holes, the last 8 players to be in that position have followed through with the win. Now, of course, you know the story with Tommy Fleetwood, grew up 45 minutes from Hoylake. He's obviously going to have the entire fan base at Liverpool on his side. But, Charlie, history would show, and when you look at this guy, Brian Harman, he seems to have the chutzpah and the gut to be able to seal the deal here. Great driver of the golf ball, great putter. You know, we're going to get to some predictions today, but how do you see these next 36 hours going for Brian Harman?
Well, I see what Brian Harman did in the U.S. Open this year a couple, you know, months ago in Los Angeles, and he was right there. He had a chance to make a move, and his game kind of fell apart on him. So he's been in this situation before in other tournaments, and he's won a lot of money on the PGA Tour, but he hasn't won a lot of championships, and he's never won a major. So this is, you know, having Tommy Fleetwood next to him could be calming. Fleetwood's a nice kid, and his record has not been very, very good in majors. He almost won the U.S. Open. So it's going to be a fun weekend, but I think somebody from the pack is going to come forward this weekend like a John Rahm and shoot 8 or 9 under. And I think 8 under, if it keeps raining and all that, is going to be a good score.
Well, yeah, you're exactly right. And your guy, Rahm, he's already making a move today, Charlie. 5 under through 12 holes. Just made another birdie on 12. He's up to tie for 4th. He's moved up 35 places already this morning. You know, you have to think the weather will come in this afternoon. You have to think that Brian Harman maybe will regress a little bit. I don't know. He seems like he has a great head on his shoulders, a great mindset going into the second to last round of this Open Championship. Here's what we got to do today. We'll do a little. We'll put a bow on the Scottish Open a little bit. Obviously, Rory, great win there. We'll talk about how after the first two rounds of the Open, how that's impacted both the American and European roster. As for the American Ryder Cup team, you have six players who have already punched their plane tickets to Rome. Scotty Scheffler, U.S. Open champion, Wyndham Clark, PGA champion, Brooks Koepka, Max Homa, and then the Bash brothers and Patrick Cantlay and Xander Schauffele are six names who are already locks for Rome. And then Zach Johnson, who's the American captain, will pick the other six names to fill out the 12. Jordan Spieth is eighth on the Ryder Cup points list. He should make it. Colin Morikawa is ninth. He missed the cut this week, so we'll get back to Morikawa. Ricky Fowler's 12th. He's probably a lock after his win in Detroit a few weeks ago. But Charlie, I would say the three big names to miss the cut this week, and not only miss the cut, but in weeks where this is really going to largely determine their fate for the Ryder Cup, Tony Finau, Justin Thomas, and Dustin Johnson, three guys to miss the cut that are in that conversation for the Ryder Cup, and following missed cuts at Liverpool, their spots in the team are certainly going to be up for question.
Well, first and foremost, Zach Johnson is a level-headed kid that knows what he's doing. He's been on the Ryder Cup teams. He's got good counsel on as you move forward and who you're going to pick and who you're not going to pick. Here again, I've got two problems. Brooks Koepka.
Let's hear it, Charlie.
Dustin Johnson are not on the PGA Tour, and I'm not sure if they're eligible to be picked for the Ryder Cup. The Ryder Cup is supposedly for members of the PGA of America and PGA Tour, and those guys are not. They gave up that privilege when they went to LIV Golf. So that's going to come out after the tournament, and we'll see. I don't know how the hierarchy of the PGA of America stand with letting Bruce, I mean, and he won the PGA Championship. That's another,
U.S. Open. Koepka?
Koepka won the PGA Championship.
Now,
did he not?
Koepka won the PGA Championship at Oak Hill. You are correct. You are correct.
Yes. And you would think that that'd be an automatic bid, but he's not a member of the PGA of America. Jack Nicklaus did not play in the Ryder Cup because he wasn't a member of the PGA back in 72, I think it was. So there's a lot of undecided politics that's got to go through the the wash before decisions can be made.
No, you're exactly right, and we don't even have a final framework agreement to what the future of golf is going to look like. We can't make any forward assumptions as far as this merger is concerned. Charlie, I will say the one thing that I've noticed is it seems like Team Europe has taken a much tougher stance against the LIV golfers as opposed to the American team. I mean, we saw Zach Johnson and Brooks Koepka playing practice rounds together, laughing together, probably talking about the Ryder Cup together. Luke Donald and Rory McIlroy, they're not giving Richard Bland, they're not giving Lee Westwood, they're not giving Sergio Garcia the time of day. Do you think you could see a situation where one team decides to allow LIV golfers and the other team doesn't? Now, once again, it's not like Europe has a whole ton of LIV golfers that are qualified to play in the Ryder Cup. But when you talk about the Americans, it is Brooks Koepka and Dustin Johnson. Do you think one team could take a different stance than the other?
They're going to have to make the decisions together. They are partners. They have a strategic alliance, the European Tour and the American Tour. So time will only tell. Let's focus on this great championship this weekend and move from there. We can't speculate at this late what these guys are going to do.
Charlie, what'd you think about Rory's 2-iron on 18 last week at the Renaissance Club? A little cut in there to seal the deal over Robert McIntyre.
Well, bless his heart, you know, he's been working so hard to win one, and he probably won not the correct one. There's a reason why a lot of guys won't play before a major, because there's not many guys that have won the tournament before the major and go on to win the major itself. Rory's working hard this week. He needs a 66, 64 to get in the game this afternoon, and hopefully he'll do it. But his victory at the Scottish Open at the Renaissance Club was outstanding. He played the golf, was very, very good coming down the stretch, and the birdie, those two holes, 17 and 18, and win the championship, was, you know, that's his pedigree. He shined really well in that 250-yard two-iron on the last hole and then make the putt, which he thought he had not made it, and it went in. So my hat's off to him. It's a great victory for him and for golf.
Yeah, Charlie, I mean, when he was standing on 16T, even he said it himself, you know, hopefully I get one birdie and force a playoff. Obviously, only 6% of the field had birdied 17 last week, and only two birdies had been made on 18 when Rory arrived there, and obviously got it done. But the first two rounds at the Open for Rory, not as good as the first two rounds we saw in 2014 when he opened with 66-66. You know, this year's first two rounds for Rory was more like Rocky versus Clubber Lang, as he was absolutely doing anything to stay alive. 70-71 were Rory's opening scores. That was good enough to put him in a tie for 14th. Obviously, a ton of pressure on him this week, Charlie, as, you know, 9 years worth of majors have passed by without seeing him in the winner's circle. But, you know, everyone needs to remember, he has won 3 tour championships and 15 PGA Tour events, including a playoff and including a players since his last major. Charlie, we'll take some questions on the other side. Stick around. This is the Charlie Epps Golf Hour, presented by Insperity HR, that makes a difference. Back after this.
Listening to the Charlie Epps Golf Hour on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Powered by Insperity.
With the golf doctor himself, Charlie Epps, here's Will Doctor.
It's nice to have you with us. John Rahm making a move 5-under through 13. He has vaulted to tied 4th. Corey Connors, the Canadian, winner of the Valero Texas Open. He's 4-under through 12, all the way up to 8th place. How about Matthew Fitzpatrick's brother, Alex Fitzpatrick? Got in via qualifier. He's 4-under through 10, all the way up to 8th place. What a leaderboard we have to discuss, Charlie. But before we get going, how about a couple words for our friends over at Insperity? All right, we'll get back to Charlie here and just... Charlie, go ahead there. We got you?
Yes.
Fire away. How about a quick word for our friends over at Insperity, an HR company that's making a difference?
Well, like I said, HR is the best HR company in the country. And if you have a small business and you're looking for some guidance and some help, because they've had success over the last 30 years, really building a company that is second to none. And they know how to treat people, but more importantly, they know how to treat their customers. The customers are their most important asset. And so they will tell you exactly what you need and what you don't need. And they have a track record that is second to none. And remember, they're a company that wants small business to succeed, so that's all you need to know. So believe it, from Charlie Epps, Insperity is the company that you want to handle your HR business. Insperity, what a successful company.
Now, I told you a couple Europeans making a charge early. Obviously, Rahm, Alex Fitzpatrick, the Canadian, Corey Connors is up there in the top 10. There's a group of Americans who made a splash early this morning. Ricky Fowler and Patrick Cantlay both shot 4-under. They're up to tied for 17th. And then Xander Schauffele is 3-under on the 18th hole. He's in the top 20 as well. You know, Charlie, before we get rolling, we're going to start with a question here. When you think about 3:30 p.m. is when Brian Harmon's going to go off, you know, what is there any way to determine what he could possibly drop back to? I mean, we saw the amateur Christo Lamprecht. You know, he was 7-under through the first day, and then he shot, you know, what, 7-8 over yesterday. When you're in the afternoon wave, anything can happen. Isn't that right?
Well, those mornings are very, very long, and he has been up since probably – he didn't go to bed last night. I mean, to get in this position, not only is it incredible that he's in first place, but with a five-shot lead, and you got a lot of guys out there that really want to beat you.
Yep.
He's going to be protecting, and he should just go out there and just forget about, you know, the situation, which he can, but – be aggressive and see what happens. You know, roll the dice. He's got the position. They're going to come after him, and you can see what John Rahm is doing today and what he'll do tomorrow. So it's going to be a great weekend for golf for this closing Open Championship in Great Britain.
All right, this question comes in from Jasper in Houston. He says, Charlie, if you were the American Ryder Cup captain, what do you see from Justin Thomas? What do you need to see from Justin Thomas over the final weeks of the season to take him to Rome? And just to review, JT missed the cut this week, Charlie. Shot 11 over the first 2 days. He's missed the cut in 3 of 4 majors this year. He's on the outside looking in as far as the FedEx Cup playoffs are concerned. And there's been noise about a lagging hip injury. I would say his only saving grace is those Ryder Cup records. But, Charlie, what is going on in the mind of ZJ in the moment as far as JT is concerned?
Well, you know, the proof's in the pudding. I mean, he's just had a horrible year. These last 3 months couldn't have been worse to lead up to the Ryder Cup. And would I pick him? I don't think I would. I think there's other guys that are playing and that are fresh and are going to be aggressive. And I think Zach Johnson is going to do that. And the first guy to understand that is Justin Thomas. Justin is you know, beside himself on what he's going through, why he shot 82 the first round of this major championship. I have no idea. He shot, what, 71 the next day?
Correct.
So he's going through some difficult times, but that's why they pay Zach and the guys big money to make these big decisions. I don't think he'll be chosen.
Well, yeah, and fair point there. You have a lot of young players, the Cameron Youngs of the world. You've got 37-year-old Keegan Bradley, who has won twice this year, ready to be back on that stage. We remember how incredible Keegan Bradley and Phil Mickelson were in those Ryder Cups and President's Cups through the 2010s. But, Charlie, let's take a moment and just realize how long it's taken JT to kind of hit this cold spell that you see every golfer go through. I mean, at 30 years old, JT has never finished outside 12th on the FedEx Cup standings. He's won 2 PGA championships. He has 17 PGA Tour wins. I mean, Charlie, at 30 years old, it seems like this guy's secured his spot in the Hall of Fame already.
Well, he probably has, but this is the Ryder Cup, and it's going to be in a couple of months. And they've designed these captain's picks to be able to pick the guys that are playing the best at the time of the championship. And I would say right now, I don't think Justin is a good pick with just his track record. And he's a man. He'll man up to it. He'll probably go over there and support the team and be a big cheerleader.
Oh, yeah. Well, we've seen him, you know, through the years actually do some commentating. I don't know if you watched a couple of these matches when, you know, Travis Kelce and Patrick Mahomes are playing. You know, I don't tune in for those, but I know he's out there doing some commentating. He could get involved in some other ways, but obviously, you know, being a good friend of Tiger, trying to, you know, model his game and I think his on-course persona after Tiger, you know he's going to want to be on the golf course. Now, Charlie, you had a couple other notable missed cuts at the Open that could really impact things from a Ryder Cup perspective. Colin Morikawa missed the cut. He's ninth on the standings, really needed a good week. Keegan Bradley missed the cut. I think he's a lock regardless after the 2 wins. And as I said in the opening, JT, Tony Finau, Dustin Johnson, all pretty devastating miscuts from a Ryder Cup perspective. Finau is someone who had a red-hot end to last season, the beginning of this season, four wins in a span of 5 months. But as of late, his game has totally disappeared. And then, of course, you know, we don't need to dive into this, Charlie. You know, we heard that, hey, you know, the PGA of America and the R&A are going to have to come together to figure out what to do with these LIV guys. But you have to, you know, you have to call it how it is. Dustin Johnson has been an American stalwart in Ryder Cups, 12-9-1 lifetime, as far as that Ryder Cup record is concerned. But after a miscut this week, the likelihood of his chances to make the Ryder Cup are pretty slim. But I have a question before we get away from the Ryder Cup. Would you rather have, at this point right now, would you rather have Dustin Johnson or Cam Young if you had one last pick to make for the Ryder Cup?
Well, number one, Cam Young's a member of the PGA and a member of the PGA Tour. Dustin Johnson isn't. So I don't know how you consider him over a guy that has been loyal to the PGA and the PGA Tour. That's a big bone of contention.
All right, we lost Charlie Epps temporarily there for a second. Obviously, the bottom line is, you know, the PGA of America, the PGA Tour, the R&A, they're going to have to figure out as a team what to do with the LIV guys as far as the Ryder Cup is concerned. With Brooks Koepka being the PGA champion, I don't see that going any other way. I think he eventually makes the team. Do we have Charlie on the line? No. That's all right. Yeah, we'll get Charlie back in here in just a second. Now, as far as this leaderboard is concerned, Brian Harman, 10-shot lead. It is very interesting to look at the last nine players who have had a five-shot lead through 36 holes and gone on to win. Obviously, most recent being Scottie Scheffler at the 2022 Masters. But you know, Brian Harman, it's tough to tell whether this is someone that can get it done in the big moment. Obviously, Charlie alluded that he had a nice week at LACC for the U.S. Open. I remember Brian Harman leading after 54 holes at Erin Hills, the PGA that Koepka won. Brian Harman had a nice lead going into Sunday. Unfortunately, you know, didn't seal the deal there. He has had his chances. He's a two-time winner on the PGA Tour, and we're going to have to see how he handles the pressure in the big moment. All right, let's take a quick break to talk about my friends over at Brookside Equipment. Tom and Adam Belimovich are the great people who own nine Houston locations, and it is the premier dealership for all John Deere equipment in Houston. Whether you're a homeowner, rancher, contractor, or institution, the Brookside team is there to provide you with the equipment solution and full service support you deserve. As far as the golf is concerned, their partners are Houston Country Club, Whispering Pines Golf Club, which is the number one golf club in Texas, and includes Memorial Park Golf Course, which is home to the PGA Tour's Houston Open. And no matter your situation, Brookside has the deal you need. New or pre-owned equipment, parts, service, flexible payment plans, they have it all. Houston, Spring, Jersey Village, League City, Katy, Southwest Houston, Angleton, Hockley, and Conroe. Go see them at one of their nine locations and visit their website at brooksideusa.com for any special deals. And we get back to the Open Championship here. Brian Harman obviously leads the way at 10 under, and he's gonna begin the third round here with a five-shot lead. Remember, Harman had a golden opportunity to win his first major in 2017. He was the 54-hole leader there at Erin Hills before Brooks Koepka put the pedal down and won his first major championship. You know, that was a painful one for Harman. Koepka was one up on Harman making the turn. Harman tied him back up with seven to play, and then Koepka birdied 14, 15, and 16 to just absolutely close the door on Harman. Let's get to things from a betting perspective here. Basically, to start the week, I had Xander Schauffele, I had Tony Finau, I had Tyrrell Hatton, and I had Patrick Reed. Finau and Patrick Reed, in my mind, were two guys who could potentially make a big splash this week. And with a win or a top five finish for Finau and Reed, could potentially secure their spots in the Ryder Cup. I mean, could you imagine if Patrick Reed, and now obviously now we're talking hypothetically, he missed the cut, and there won't be another chance for guys like Patrick Reed and Dustin Johnson to play another event that is credible as far as the official world golf rankings are concerned. So their Ryder Cup chances are essentially out. It would have been a great story to you know, have them play well at the final major of the year and kind of force Zach Johnson's hand as far as taking more than one live guy is concerned. But from a betting perspective, you know, plenty of value right now as far as the Open is concerned, because obviously Brian Harman has a 5-shot lead. You know, you have guys like Rahm at 14-1 right now. You have Spieth at 18-1. You know, Wyndham Clark, the U.S. Open champions, at 45-1 right now on DraftKings. You know, now is the time to find some value. And I'm going to help you do so on the other side right here on the Charlie Epps Golf Hour, presented by Insperity HR, that makes a difference. Back after this.
Listening to the Charlie Epps Golf Hour on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Powered by Insperity.
With the golf doctor himself, Charlie Epps. Here's Will Doctor.
Hi, welcome back to the Charlie Epps Show, presented by Insperity HR, that makes a difference. And yeah, you know, as I said last segment, you look at these players that have had a 5-shot lead or better through the halfway point, and you know, look at the last 8, they've all sealed the deal. I mean, Nick Price in 94 at the PGA. Tiger in 2000 at the U.S. Open, Oosthuizen at St. Andrews, 2010 Open, Rory at Congressional in 2011 had a 6-shot lead through the halfway point. Obviously, everyone remembers Martin Keimer's 6-shot lead through 36 holes at Pinehurst in 2014. Spieth, his first major championship, 2015. Remember, he was off to the races, 5-shot lead through 36 holes. Brooks Koepka, huge lead at the 2019 PGA, 7-shot lead through 36 holes. And then obviously most recently, Scottie Scheffler, 2022 Masters, had a 5-shot lead making the turn. The only thing is you can't help but to think about who the last four winners were, the last four winners of Opens at Hoy Lake were, and how they were playing up to that point in the season. 1930, Bobby Jones wins the Open at Liverpool, en route to winning the Grand Slam. You know, obviously the Grand Slam looks a lot different today than it did back then. Then it was the Open, it was the U.S. Open, it was the British Amateur, and it was the U.S. Amateur. Those were the four majors, and Jones took them all down in 1930. So he was obviously in a very hot spot of his game. 1956 at Hoy Lake for the Open, Peter Thompson, the Aussie, he won his third of 5 Open championships at Royal Liverpool. Obviously wasn't on a heater that year, but when you think about the type of Open championship player that Peter Thompson was, you know, he was obviously a heavy favorite that week in 56. In 67, Roberto DiVincenzo, he had won 7 times internationally going into the Open Championship. On, you know, probably playing some of the best golf of his life, I was interested to get the golf doctor's take on DiVincenzo, as, you know, there's another Argentine near the top of the leaderboard this week in Emiliano Grillo. He had a share of the first round lead at 5-under. Unfortunately, he shot 3 over yesterday. Still 2-under, but one of these guys whose fate this week is largely going to determine on whether you know, Harmon throws up on himself or not. So that's what we're obviously going to have to see. Harmon throws up on himself and comes back to 5-under. You know, you have 15 players that could win this thing, you know, starting with the names at 1-under. But I digress. You know, looking at the last Open winners at Royal Liverpool that were playing some of the best golfs of their lives. Jones was in 1930. DiVincenzo was in 1967. DiVincenzo in 67, he won the Open, which was the last major of the year. Then he goes to Augusta that spring and, you know, finishes the 72nd hole, thinks he's won the Masters, thinks he's won 2 majors in a row, and then they find out he signed the wrong scorecard. And the 68 Masters, the 68 Green Jacket, ended up going to the American Bob Gobe. So DiVincenzo, bottom line, was playing some of his best golf then in 67. 2006, I mean, you know, Tiger had won 8 times in 15 starts that year. You know, surprisingly, 2006 was the last year that he had won an Open, but playing some of the best golf of his life up to that point. And then 2014, it was Rory who had won 4 times that year, and followed his Open win with a victory at the PGA Championship the very next month. Obviously, Rory in a spot where, you know, he another guy whose fate will determine on Harmon. Rory is 1 under. Across the board, I like his stats so far this week. He's positive in approach shot, positive off the tee, positive with the putter. But, you know, as Charlie alluded to earlier, maybe he peaked a little bit too soon last week. You know, last week was painful. I mean, the Scottish Open was a painful week for me because I have Robert McIntyre at 101 to start the week. You know, Sunday was one of the best Sundays of the PGA Tour season. And, you know, Robert McIntyre birdies 18 from 235 out, makes a birdie, clubhouse lead at one under, at, the clubhouse lead by one at 14 under. And then Rory storms back, birdies the last 2 holes to get Robert McIntyre by one. We'll discuss Rory's chances on this other side here on the Charlie Epps Golf Hour, presented by Insperity HR, that makes a difference.
You're listening to the Charlie Epps Golf Hour on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Powered by Insperity.
With the golf doctor himself, Charlie Epps, here's Will Doctor.
All right, Rory McIlroy has started his third round, birdies the first hole, gets to 2 under for the tournament. At the moment, 8 back. I'm going to go ahead and call that Brian Harmon shoots 2 over today, 2-3 over. He'll be at 7 or 8 under by the end of today. If Rory can get to 4 or 5, you know, 3-4 back with 18 to go, Charlie, that would be optimal for Rory, right? The chasing position there?
Yes. It will be, but I'm concerned about Lefty. If he shoots 75, it's going to be a good round. If he had had a better round at the U.S. Open in the heat, maybe he learned a lot at the U.S. Open and be able to handle it today. I think it'd be a great story. The last left-hander to win the British Open or the Open Championship was a member at this course you're playing on.
Wow!
So it's a good story. And it was that was 1920.
Unbelievable. Unbelievable. Charlie, let's get to a couple questions here. We got some up for you. This one comes from Cam in Pasadena. Charlie, Royal Liverpool has been a gem this week. I'm curious on your thoughts on the par 3 17th. Do you prefer the shorter par 3 or longer par 3s? And Charlie, 17 measures 136 yards this week. If you miss the green, it's an auto bogey. And we've seen over the last couple Opens and U.S. Open how the RNA and USGA are exploring with these 290-yard par 3s. What's your feel on 17? What's your preference?
I just love the hole. I think they did a marvelous job. It looks like it's been there for hundreds of years. It's a scary hole, and it's only, you know, they took care of distance. It's a wedge shot, and we'll see what happens. We'll keep track on what they do Sunday afternoon, but I like that. You know, I like the 7th hole at Pebble Beach. You know, I like the 16th hole at Augusta. I like those challenging par 3s, not only off the tee, but also putting.
I like closing stretches that cause mayhem, Charlie. I mean, we've seen it on 17, the bunkers surrounding the greens. You know, it takes a miracle of a shot to get up and down. And then they've brought the OB in on the right on 18, which is forcing players to bail left. And if you bail left on your approach, you end up where Jordan Spieth and Scottie Scheffler were yesterday in those greenside pop bunkers. Fortunately, they got up and down. Scheffler had a great up and down to make the cut. But 17 and 18, this is a great closing stretch. I mean, maybe one of the best as far as opens, wouldn't you say?
Yes, it is. It is definitely a good open golf course. They'll keep it in a rota. And the weather is going to determine a lot today. If the rain gets worse as the day goes on, that the group is going to bunch together a lot more, and we're going to have a good tournament on Sunday.
Now, another question coming in from John in Toledo. He says, Charlie, what are your thoughts on the fairway bunkers of Royal Liverpool? I'm watching players have to hit backwards and shots that, you know, land in the bunkers and don't funnel to the bottom. It seems excessive, and I don't recall seeing this at other open venues. I think St. Andrews would have something to say about that. But what's your thoughts on the bunkers at Liverpool?
Well, they have to challenge the player today. And this is bunkers where came. This is where lambs used to sleep at night so they wouldn't get cold in the North Sea. So the bunkers, you can play away from them. And if you make the mistake, you make the mistake. Rory made a heck of an up and down yesterday. So he got to challenge these players. I don't think they're unfair. They're fair for everyone. So it's Scotty's links golf at its best.
No. I would say, you know, these have been the best and most challenging bunkers that I've seen in any major probably in the last 5 years. I mean, at the core of the game, Charlie, a bunker is supposed to act as a hazard. Is that correct?
Yes, it is a hazard.
You know, it's not supposed. Here in America, you go in a bunker, they're flat. I mean, you can hit a 3-wood out of a bunker here. That's not happening there. You go in a bunker, it's essentially like taking a penalty drop.
That's exactly right. And you go play wing foot. Those are the most demanding bunkers in the United States. So, yes, a bunker is a hazard, and you got to play it that way.
You know, two things here. Matthew Fitzpatrick, he finished up at 4-under. Last year's U.S. Open Championship, he's tied for 11th. Now, if you look farther down the leaderboard, 21st, his brother, Alex Fitzpatrick, is 3-under through 12, one under for the tournament, tied 21st. We haven't seen two brothers playing in the same Open since Francesco and Eduardo Molinari in 2005 at St. Andrews. Charlie, incredible to see. I mean, number one, both, you know, Alex and Matthew tee it up, same event, same major, and then, you know, now both of them are getting into contention. That, once again, this all depends on what Harmon does this afternoon, but 2-1, 2-3 under looks like it's in a great spot to be heading into Sunday.
Yeah, their mother's going to be very, very nervous, let's say. Mrs. Patrick, have two sons in the fray on Sunday afternoon would be very exciting, but I don't think it's going to happen.
No, you don't think either one take it home. There's a lot of pressure riding on the Englishman this week, Charlie. The fact that a European has not gotten it done on home soil at the Open since '69 is shocking. There's a reason why that has been. There's a lot of pressure that comes with it. If you see Fleetwood or Fitzpatrick get it done at the end of this week, they'll probably be knighted by Monday.
The best victory in the last few years at an Open Championship was Sean Rory winning it in Ireland. An Irishman winning the Open in Ireland.
Shane Lowry at Portrush?
Yes.
I
want Fleetwood to, he lives an hour from the course, an Englishman to win the Open Championship.
And Fleetwood had a chance at Portrush that year before Lowry ran away with it. Both these guys at the top of the leaderboard, they've had their chances in majors. I don't think either one of the winners will come out of this final group. Jordan Spieth, I'm watching him here at 2-under, sitting on the middle of the first fairway, 140 out. I like some of these guys at 2-3-under. Spieth. Charlie, how about Emiliano Grillo? I mean, are you kidding me? You know, basically the first 67, the first Argentinian major comes at Liverpool with DiVincenzo. All these years later, you get Emiliano Grillo returning to the party, 5-under after day one. He regressed a little bit, but still 2-under. Talk about a lot of history riding. You have to feel like Grillo is feeling some DiVincenzo within him.
That's right, and the Argentines just won the World Cup soccer. Messi's playing in soccer in the United States in Miami, so everything's happening. That's really fun.
Yeah, with Argentina. No, incredible, incredible. All right, let's get to some picks here, Charlie. Let's go through this here. So you have Harmon, 5-shot lead, 10-under. Fleetwood is at 5-under. And then you got Rahm. Rahm is 6-under through 15, Charlie. He's made his way all the way up to third. Only 6 shots back. You've got Sepp Straka at 4-under, who won in his last start at the John Deere Classic. Tom Kim is 3-under through 7 on his third round. He's all the way up to T6th. Playing very well at the moment. Who do you think comes away with this year?
Fleetwood.
You think Fleetwood wins?
It's his tournament to win.
Now this,
his championship. He's got to step up.
Remember, this is a guy who's been there time and time again, PGA Tour-wise, has just not gotten it done. I don't mind the pick. You know, Charlie, you look back at Hoylake in 2014, Fleetwood missed the cut there. You hope that all these years later he knows how to handle the pressure a little bit better. This is going to be
It's going to be a hometown boy. Let's really pick it. Come on.
Yeah,
can do it.
This is going to be a tough one for me because now all of a sudden, Charlie, how about Patrick Reed firing 3-under today, getting it to 1-under par? How about Cam?
Yeah, that's pretty good. That's really good. But he's not a member of the PGA Tour either. So, no.
Neither is Cameron Smith. 3-under today. He's all the way up to 21st. What a pack at 1-under. Fowler, yeah, Cantlay, Schauffele, Smith, Reed, Hideki. You know, some great players in the chasing position. You know, I think I'm gonna have to go with John Rahm here. I mean, 6-under through 15 on the third round. You can get him at 11-1 odds right now, live. I mean,
yeah, but he might shoot his best round today, so that's what he's doing to catch up. Back to back 63s, you know. But I've got to go off the air right now. But you take it home, and we'll talk about it next week.
All right, Charlie, take it easy now. That's Charlie Epps for you right there. On his way to, he didn't mention this, he's on his way to the U.S. Junior Amateur. His grandson qualified for the U.S. Junior Amateur, Charlie Wiley. Huge deal. And Charlie's up there right now, I think, going through Tallahassee or Jacksonville, so he's losing a little bit of connection. But everyone, Charlie Wiley off at 9:05 in the U.S. Junior Amateur on Thursday. We'll all be pulling for him here. But we progress forward, you know, some odds, some picks. You know, Rahm at 12-1 right now. This is a guy who, you know, we know all that matters with Rahm is the putting. We know he's going to be there every week with the ball striking. Kind of like Scheffler, it all has to do with the putting. I think my pick through 36 holes of this championship, John Rahm at 12-1. Go take him right now. Plus 130 to finish top 5. That's a lock. Throw the key away. Yeah, we'll talk next week right here on the Charlie Epps Golf Hour presented by Insperity, Brookside USA, and Swing Sound. We'll see you next week.
At Ability Chiropractic, they do things differently. They believe lasting health starts with understanding how your body truly works, not masking pain with quick fixes. Their doctors take time to educate and empower you to take control of your wellness journey. Through gentle, customized adjustments, they help you restore proper function and unlock your body's natural healing power. That's why Columbus families have trusted Ability Chiropractic since 2012. See the difference for yourself. Book your appointment today at abilitychiro.com.
Cleveland is where the urban meets the outdoors, where cultural celebrations meet rabid sports fans meet the symphony, where nobody goes hungry and everybody loves music. Fueled by passion, we are the land for life. From rich history to hidden gems, the Legends of the Land podcast shares the real stories from real Clevelanders that shape the city. From iconic chefs to grassroots changemakers, sports heroes to creative visionaries, learn why living all out is in Cleveland's DNA. Go to thisiscle.com/podcast.
AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at Rubrik.com. That's Rubrik.com.